Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Nash, want to unlock some new shows or see the return of some old favorites? Then now's the time to head to jointhenaish.com. During the first ever GCN Nash rally, we live streamed an entire weekend of games to help grow the network and work towards some of our short and long-term goals. Thanks to you, we've already unlocked a new season of The One Ring and some more Star Wars content. But the rally didn't end when the stream stopped. The remaining goals are still alive, and you can help us unlock them in the weeks and months ahead. Do you want a new season of Voyagers of the Jump? Do you want back-to-back seasons of Get in the Trunk instead of just one this year? Maybe a return to Duskfall in a third season of Haunted City, or maybe an all-new sci-fi horror series featuring Mothership. It all starts at jointhenaish.com. Here's how it works. Every new membership and every upgraded membership helps push these goals forward, but nothing accelerates our progress more than locking in an annual subscription. We are an independent, creator-owned entertainment company, so the shows you love exist because of your support. So if you want to help shape the future of the network, head to jointhenaish.com. Subscribe, upgrade, and or switch to annual today and help us unlock what's next.
We have 30 seconds. It's okay. 20.
We're hot.
We're hot.
Now, baby.
We are?
We're so hot. Can you guys hear us?
Starting in 30 seconds, they can hear us.
Welcome.
No, no, they live. Can't see us yet. Don't talk yet.
I'm
professional
saying I'm
GM.
Excited for them. I'm warming them up.
No. Why even bother with the countdown? Just start talking.
I'm warming the crowd up. Welcome.
Yeah.
I was behind the curtain with the microphone, screaming, chanting to the crowd. It was all part of the process,
guys. Yeah, we
did it on purpose. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, chat, to the Nash rally continuation. It is now Sunday. We've been doing this since Friday, and I am so excited to be here and to be here playing this game that we will be playing, Brindlewood Bay. Now, why are we playing Brindlewood Bay? Because I wanted to. Because specifically, I wanted to. I've been wanting to run it Troy said, like, would you want to do this? I said 1,010%. And he said, let's do it on the Naish rally, because the Naish rally has been so chock full of fun games that some of us had never played. Some of us are new to running. I've never run Brindlewood Bay. I'm super pumped to run it. And it's all to showcase and show you guys what Glass Cannon's all about and how we want to grow this network and how we need your help to do that. So this Naish rally is all being done through our Patreon. And all we ask of you is that if you can, you help contribute to growing our network and our power meter, increase our power meter to be able to produce new shows and new content for you guys. Every new pledge generates more power for our power meter. That's how this is working. And if you can, you can upgrade a pledge. You don't even need to upgrade, though. You can just increase your contribution of your tier, and it helps us out so much. So we are so close. Let me see where we're at now. We are at 6,784.
Ooh.
And our next big goal is 10,000. And do you know what that goal is, Rob? I'm with Rob Kirkovich, folks. Rob Kirkovich, everybody.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, if you couldn't tell, it's me, Rob Kirkovich. Tell.
Oh, yeah. I just needed them to.
Who's this old lady? Weird, yeah, this is
I'm
very
like
strange.
Chaney.
You know, Rob's voice come out of this old woman.
You're already so in character for our game. But yes. Very quickly, do you want to talk about what happens at this next big goal that I'm hoping
I'm told I'll be doing Star Wars things. So starting at 10,000, we'll be Star Warsing it up. That could mean anything from the role-playing game. It could mean playing Star Wars Unlimited with over like webcams and shit. Get anybody who wants to get involved. We could play some fucking, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Tabletop Simulator? We could do play like Rebellion and Imperial Assault and shit. We
That's
could
too
go
much. Whoa,
crazy.
Calm down.
What about Star Wars Outer Rim? We could play that.
Oh, yeah. Yep, we can go bonkers. We can have rotating casts. It's going to be fantastic once I figure it out.
What that is. No, we're super excited. Hopefully we reach that goal. But let's get into what we're doing right now, which is playing Brindlewood Bay, which is why Rob is dressed up so wonderfully.
We're playing Brindlewood Bay?
I am so lucky that I get to play with you guys, not only incredible role players, but also just my friends who I love hanging out with. So please welcome Paula Deming, Kate Stamos, Rob Kirkovich, and Matthew Capitacasa, who will be our little old biddies today.
Oh, yes.
I've never been so excited.
Have any of you played Brindlewood Bay?
No. I sure have not.
Paula, not even you?
No.
Oh, wow.
This seems very Paula-coded, I have to say.
I'm pretty pumped. I was reading it, and I was like, yes.
Same. It is I feel like it's so up all of our alleys in many, many different ways. But we only
I started brainstorming like a full show of it once I was reading the rules. So I was
stop.
What do we do? How do we make this happen? So
I'm so excited. But let's jump in. We're going to do a very quick character creation, because we only have like 2 hours to run this one shot. So I want to just dive in. I want to get to it. Character creation. So Brindlewood Bay, basically for those that don't know, Brindlewood Bay is a role-playing game about elderly women who are all members of a local mystery book club called the Murder Mavens.
Yes.
Who solve actual murders and crimes and mysteries in a very quaint New England town. There are undercurrents of sort of Cthulian cosmic horror mythos. We probably won't get too much into that in the one shot. That's for like long campaigns. But each one shot is a sort of mystery of the week type of thing, like a television show, like a classic 80s show.
Murder, She Wrote,
basically. Yeah, it's directly inspired from Murder, She Wrote. So character creation is super easy. You guys have your character sheets, and I asked you to sort of maybe come up with concepts very loosely, but that we would do it on air. So let's go around. Who wants to go first? Who thinks they have a name? Because you kind of start off with a name and it gives you suggestions, but you can also choose your own. Paula.
I think we all picked names first.
Yeah, I was like, 100%. I needed to claim mine immediately when I saw the options on the character. Because it's one of those character sheets where it's like, here's a list of names you can choose from or make up your own. So, hello, my name is Opal.
Perfect.
Yes.
Opal. Okay.
Opal what?
Opal. Last names are more difficult. Opal. Peters. No, I can't use Peterson. That's the name of a character in a different thing. Opal. No, I can't use Patterson either. Opal Pike.
Opal, right. Opal Pike. Pike. Opal Pike. Perfect name. No notes.
Sorry, Paul.
Sorry, no, I'm just seeing in chat now. People wanted me to say St. Clair. Sorry, I didn't say St. Clair.
That's for the other Cthulian world.
Yes, that belongs in Call of Cthulhu only. I'm going to try not to go too goblin with my aged lady voice.
Maybe she's aging rapidly throughout the game. Who's to say?
Look, she's reverse Benjamin Buttoning.
Maybe she's a goblin.
She's reverse Benjamin Buttoning. She's just aging. She's just getting old.
Maybe you are the Cthulian conspiracy that we're going to uncover.
It's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
Opal Pike, yes. I love her. Who else has a name? Kate, you had one too, right?
My name, I created my own. My name's Deborah.
Yes.
Deborah Doyle.
Deborah Doyle.
Deborah Doyle is so good. Do you really go
want to be a Deb?
Deb or Debbie or Deborah, or
you guys are my friends. You call me Deb. Debbie?
Yes.
Debbie's fine.
Of course we do, dear.
Whatever you want, man.
Deborah Doyle is great. Rob, you seem to really be embodying your character. I assume you have a name.
Yes. I was originally going to be Dorothy Zbornak inspired, my favorite character in modern fiction from the Golden Girls, who that show influenced actually my entire comic sensibilities. That show was fucking amazing, and Dorothy was my favorite character. But in the 10 minutes before the show started, I couldn't find my Dorothy shit, which I have. So I had to take my wife's Sophia shit. So now I am Sophia. And let me look up a good thing that's not. Sophia Pellegrino.
Ooh. Sophia and, Pellegrino.
Yeah, her style is Sicily, 1934. And
okay.
Picture it.
Her cozy activity is cheesecake.
Okay. Yes, of course.
So yeah, okay. You're getting into some of the other wonderful sections of this character sheet. Their style is like their personal style, their outlook on life. This kind of defines them each and how they're dressed. So yes, Sicily, and then their cozy activity represents their favorite hobby or their pastime. Also food, I suppose, favorite cozy activity is cheesecake, whether that's baking or eating. All right, so does anybody, or Matthew, you want to name your character?
My character's name is Myrna Blackwood.
Oh, yes. Myrna Blackwood.
And I can tell you her style as well, if you'd like to know.
Please.
Her style is, I came up with this myself, chunky glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Chunky glasses, of course.
I don't recommend them, actually.
Like mine are more
I can't see anything.
Bright, colorful frames. Like,
like Prue in Great British Bake Off.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So thick frames, not necessarily Coke bottle thick, just the frames themselves.
The frames are thick and statementy.
I love
vibrant. Mm. You have a big chunky necklace.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
I have jewelry that goes with every pair of glasses, and I have many pairs of glasses.
Of course. Color coordination.
Of course you do.
I see her so clearly. Opal, does Opal have a style that you can think of?
Opal does have a style, and it is all the cardigans.
Yes.
Which is not that different from Paula's style, if I'm honest. Go with what you know?
This is so funny to write down, because it's just like cardigans, cheesecake, chunky glasses. Kate, a style for Deborah, for Debbie?
Debbie, I chose Hippy Dippy.
Yeah.
Obviously, yes,
with
yes,
what I'm wearing right now,
of course.
And the cozy activity, of course, gardening.
Gardening, of course, oh, yes. I love it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Matthew, did you have a cozy activity for Myrna?
Myrna definitely has a cozy activity, and it is sitting in judgment.
Oh, with the glasses on, just like peering at people.
Yes,
of anyone, just anyone in particular.
Oh, the world's my oyster in Brilliant Bay.
Perfect, perfect. Paula, cozy activity?
Mine is collecting, and I collect bookmarks.
Oh, that's nice. So perfect for you ladies, you Mystery Club Murder Maven
that's
ladies.
That's right. I love books, and you can find, did you know, they will make a souvenir bookmark for any place you go.
Wow.
You just go into a little shop and there is a souvenir bookmark of that location. So everywhere I have traveled, I have a souvenir bookmark.
That's adorable, Opal. That's very, very cute.
Thank
you. It's amazing that you have bookmarks for all of the 5 towns you've been to outside of this one.
Look, I don't appreciate your judgment of me right now, Myrna. Okay, I now finally have the time to do more travel, and I will be getting more bookmarks, but also I have this lovely bookmark that has kittens on it, and this lovely bookmark that has puppies, and this one has daisies. It's not just about locations.
You also, maybe most important, aside from your style, which I feel like is very, very important, you have maven moves. Now, these are sort of... A maven move is something that you can use. Not only does it personalize your maven and their personality a little bit, but it has an in-game mechanic. You can use it during your search for clues, possibly during the theorize section where you come up with how this murder or crime happened. And we had the option to choose the classic maven moves, which are inspired by male detective characters in American TV shows, or the alternate one, which is from mystery books. We chose the classic, and I would love to hear what you guys are thinking for who you're going to pick for your maven moves. And write it down, because you will use that for later.
I just realized who is this name referencing for the one that I picked, and I just realized what it is. I'll talk about mine.
Yeah.
I have chosen Gordon Shumway. Who I've just now realized is from Alf.
That's Alf's. That's Alf's proper name.
Alf's name.
Oh, I did not know that.
The power makes more sense, but I chose it for the power. So the maven move is: I have a feline friend.
Okay.
Cats are friends, not food. Just to be clear, I have a feline friend with whom I share a strong bond. This extraordinary kitty can do tricks and follow simple commands. Name my precocious puss and add them to my cozy little place. So when I use the cat to get advantage on a roll, I don't have to mark this. Pick this move because cat, and that's exactly why I did.
Perfect. I'll let you ruminate on what you want to name.
Think about a cat name.
Yeah, think of a cat name. Anybody else know what they want to do as their maven move?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Jeez.
I don't know if we're going to actually do this, but I saw it and I was like, I want that. I chose Michael Knight.
Okay.
I really want an RV.
Oh, wait, what?
So Michael Knight is, I have a trusty mode.
It's Optimus Prime.
I have a trusty mode of transportation, oversized sedan, motorbike, a truck, whatever. It has once gotten me out of a sticky situation. Give it a name. Oh, add it to your cozy little place. Oh, And when you use it, I get an advantage on a die roll. Leave it unmarked.
Okay.
Pick this if you want to have vehicle to be the defining trait of your character or if you want to have chase scenes.
Okay. So you're hippy dippy and you want to have, what do you want it to be? This is Michael Knight from Knight Rider. So it could be anything though. It doesn't have to be like a motorcycle. It could be a truck. It could be...
Oh, yeah. I want it to be like an RV that she would take to festivals.
I see. Okay. I see the image now with like wood paneling on the side, like an old RV, big RV.
Mm-hmm.
Do you live in it?
I have before.
Okay.
Traveled all around this country. Following,
such a free spirit.
Following all the festival circuits.
You can't hold tie Debbie down. I love it. So you have a big RV. Cool. I love that. Does anybody else know what they want as their maven move?
There was one option once I decided on chunky glasses, and that is the Sonny Crockett.
Yeah.
Sonny Crockett. What is that one?
You have a very stylish wardrobe. People say wow whenever they see you around town.
Wow.
Describe your style in a little more detail and then add stylish wardrobe to your cozy little place. When you use it to get an advantage on a die roll, leave it unmarked.
This is so perfect for you. Okay, but describe it more. So you mentioned these glasses, you mentioned some jewelry. What would make you this Sonny Crockett kind of type?
Well, I think everything is coordinated. And there's no mixing and matching. I don't have, you know, there's not like a single piece that I would use in an outfit. The whole outfit is constructed as a piece.
Are you monochromatic? Do you wear all the same color with each outfit?
No, I think of me as like a Mondrian painting, where it's like just bold primaries, or maybe or even like striking pastels as a theme. But mostly just kind of caftans and chunky jewelry and perfectly coiffed, shock white hair.
I absolutely love it.
Do you get done weekly at the salon?
Weekly. Rob, funny. Do you know yours?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many to choose from. This list is basically the fictional characters who raised me.
Oh.
Because my mom had all of these on repeat all the time in syndication. So I'm going to go with one of my faves, Thomas Magnum.
Magnum P.I.
Also, one of my mom's faves and my dad's faves. My different dad's reasons.
Fave. Yeah, but... I mean, my mom was way into it for Selleck. Damn. I mean, the shortness of his shorts. Do yourself a favor. There's probably a supercut of all his short shorts as he, like, fights crime and stuff. It's amazing. Anyway, I am a secret personal friend of Robin Masterson, who is the author of all the Gold Crown mysteries that we as a group love to read.
Yes.
I have access, this probably won't be relevant, I have access to Robin's resources whenever we are outside of Brindlewood Bay. Homes, vehicles, even her checking account. So limitless resources. Additionally, the Mavens, this is the cool thing. Additionally, the Mavens always get both benefits of the Gold Crown mysteries move instead of having to choose.
Yeah.
So that helps us in a way that I need to now read.
Yes.
On my own.
These are the basics of the character sheet. You also get some other stuff like your cozy place, which is sort of like your home. And throughout different sessions, you get to add things to your home. It's like your home base. We're not really worrying about that in this one shot. You do need to add one to one of your ability scores. That is the other important thing. This is a D6 system, so your ability scores, the modifiers will be low anyway, but you only get one at the beginning, and there is vitality, which is like strength, dexterity, endurance, athleticism, composure, your calm disposition, concentration, or trying to avoid a fear-based reaction, reason, studying, researching, examining,
like
a crime scene, perhaps. Presence, trying to charm somebody, intimidate somebody, fascinate somebody. And then sensitivity, which that's like the supernatural. I would say don't worry about sensitivity in this. Again, that's for like longer campaigns when you become more aware of the occult. But that is more like your sensitivity to the supernatural. So the way that these moves work with your abilities, there's different types of moves. There's the day move. When you do something risky or face something you fear, you will roll. You roll 2d6 and you add them together and any corresponding modifier for the action that you're taking, which I would decide. We can discuss like what that might be. On a 10 plus, that's good. You do what you wanted to do. On a 7 to 9, you get to do what you want to do, but there's a complication or something bad might happen. On a 12 plus, that's like the best. Lower than a 7, something very bad might happen, maybe the worst case scenario. That's your normal day moves. Your night moves, when it turns to night, things are even more risky. So the worst outcome is like even worse. You basically tell me what the worst thing is that could happen, and then I say how it's even worse than you thought, which is really fun. The meddling move is when you're searching for clues, conducting research. These are all the same dice rolls. You're rolling those 2d6. And then the Gold Crown mystery move. So this is exactly what you were saying, I think, Rob, what yours gives you. So once per mystery, when any maven says, "This reminds me of something that happened to Amanda Delacorte," you are referencing this author and how this scenario reminds you of something she wrote about. So you have to name the Gold Crown mystery that you are referencing, and you can't repeat any titles if we were to do it again. The problem or solution that Amanda found herself in, and how Amanda eventually overcame the problem, and you get to then take a 12 plus on a roll. You basically succeed with flying colors because you've read about this before. Another thing you can do in this.
Tell me. Or you can state a fact that the keeper then must incorporate.
Rob's ability, we get both.
You get both.
I see.
But only
okay.
one of us gets to do this the entire session.
Yeah. once per mystery, yes. There's something else that everybody can do, which is called putting on a crown. In very dire situations, for example, you might roll really badly in a dangerous situation and your character might die. Just that's what's going to happen. But you can then put on a crown. And what that allows you to do is to move your success tier up one. So if you horribly failed, you would move into the you succeed with a consequence, meaning your character doesn't die. I'm going to let you guys do this once. It's very open-ended on how many times you can do it in a game. I think for this one shot, we'll do it once. The other thing I can do as a keeper is called cut to commercial. If something terrible was going to happen, we quote unquote cut to commercial, leaving the audience on a cliffhanger as the character is about to fall over the railing and seemingly crack their head open on the sidewalk below. I will then prompt you to improvise a commercial. And then when we cut back to the show, your character has safely swung themselves back over the railing and did not fall to their death. So there's a lot of really fun mechanics to play around with. I think that's it for character creation. And I think we should jump in, unless there's anything else you guys want to point out or have any questions about on your sheets, anything I might be missing.
Our abilities start, they're just slightly grayed out on the digital version of this. So I just want to make sure our abilities start 0 vitality, 1 composure, 1 reason, 0 presence, -1 sensitivity. And then you add 1 to one of those.
I believe so.
That's okay, got to be the base. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise you would just be 0 on everything. I just wanted to make sure. Great. I think that makes sense. And I have added 1 to reason for anyone who cares.
Perfect. Oh yeah. Does anybody want to share what they added theirs to? Or
I feel like it makes sense for me, composure. Mm-hmm. Keeping it cool.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah. I feel like she's seen it all. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, well, I'll have a freak out, but it'll be fine because I'll be logical about it.
That's why we keep you around for entertainment purposes.
So stop now that, judging me.
Now that I think you guys have a better idea of who you are and now more descript sort of character styles and stuff, I can see each of you. We have Opal Pike wearing a green cardigan, a kind of bundled up, maybe holding a book with a bookmark in it. We have Deborah Doyle, who perhaps is wearing bell bottoms and sort of a tasseled fringe vest.
Yeah.
Maybe long gray hair. Yep. We have Sophia Pellegrino. Rob, you said Sicily, 1934, and I just want to do justice. What is Sophia wearing?
She's just wearing like a neck to ankle dress. Like what this is what I'm wearing.
It's this.
Okay. She's got a little tiny purse that she always carries around.
Perfect.
That has a fucking butcher's knife in it.
Oh.
Okay.
No, I don't know. She just pulled out like a Uzi.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a small
my
knife
Sicilian
in your
grandparents too.
Tiny purse. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm gonna need your help on this, Matthew.
And Myrna Blackwood with a absolute like eye popping colorful outfit as you are all sitting above the candlelight booksellers in the town of Brindlewood Bay. Brindlewood Bay is a small coastal community in Massachusetts. It was once a whaling town in the 18th and 19th century, but now has become a big tourist spot. A lot of locals have turned their homes into quaint bed and breakfasts. There are antique shops and comfy dining spots galore, and lots of artist and artisan stores selling, you know, homemade soaps and candles and painted seashells. There's also guided fishing trips and whale watching. Now, the Murder Mavens is your mystery book club, and you meet above the candlelight booksellers every week, and you are at your weekly meeting. Your meeting is wrapping up. What do you think you ladies are talking about? Or perhaps you might want to add some flavor to what this upstairs of the candlelight booksellers looks like, that you come here every single week. I'm sure you've decorated it and added your own personal touches. So what are you talking about, or what's going on with the decor? Okay.
I feel like Deborah's looking at Myrna, admiring your glasses that you have on today.
Are you looking at my glasses?
Oh,
Oh, yes. They're spectacular.
Well, thank you. They are a favorite of mine, myself. The color is called Coral Violence.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
that's Coral Violence.
Yes. Special, aren't they?
Yes, that's very special.
I think Myrna also is like, she finds this bookstore, even though it looks perfectly clean, she finds it to be filthy. So she always brings like her own little dustpan to help clean up the upstairs.
Oh, I'm sure it's like cluttered as all hell. Yeah. And that's like driving her nuts.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. After every meeting, Myrna, of course, is doing her usual dusting. And the air is just filling with these dust particles as the sunlight is streaming in through that small circular attic window. And as you're discussing the end of this last book that you read with a wonderful...
Yes, it was quite thrilling.
Triple twist. It had three twists.
Can you imagine? Three twists. I had it figured out by the second twist, though. I don't know about everyone else.
You hear some heavy thudding footsteps up the creaky stairs leading to this top floor, and a sharp knock on the door. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, come in.
You see Sophia, club coming Sophia's already. Got like a bottle of gin that she was putting in this tea, and she's like, someone's coming.
And in walks, even before you say come in walks Sheriff Dalrymple, who you know quite well. You have worked alongside Sheriff Dalrymple, although he would probably say
when we help him.
Annoyingly present at all crimes that he has been charged with solving. But he walks in.
Oh, hello, deputy.
Oh, son, it's so nice to see you.
Nowhere else for you to be again. Great.
Want us to do your job for you?
He is a big, imposing man, but as you greet him, you see his face soften a little bit as you throw jabs at him. He has been with you ladies for a very long time. He kind of gives a small smile. His name is Wyman Dalrymple, you would know that. And he says, good morning, ladies. Well, I come hat in hand, and he takes off his sheriff's hat. I do indeed.
Oh, your hair, it is beginning to gray so much. You should really find ways to de-stress.
He runs his hand through his hair. I'll admit, Opal, it's been hard to de-stress when so many things seem to keep happening in Brindlewood Bay. And thanks to you ladies, as always, you keep your eye out. And, well, listen, I need your help. That's why I'm here.
Well, of course you do.
Here we go again.
That's at a certain point, you're going to have to put us on the payroll.
Well, that reminds me, deputy, I needed you some underwear. And she like pulls out the tiniest little underwear. She's like, this should fit you just fine. I heard what you're packing downstairs.
He takes them and he kind of crumples it in his hand.
Edna talks a lot about you.
All right, and he kind of tucks it into his back pocket. Now listen, this is serious. There was a wealthy financier, this guy Albert Krauss, and he was dragged out of the bay, dead. That was earlier today, and his family...
Oh, you mean his dead body, pulled out of the water?
Yes.
Dragged out of the bay? Oh, I'm just making sure that I have interpreted your wording correctly. Thank you.
I appreciate your thoroughness. We pulled him out of the bay earlier today, and his family was yachting on this boat. They were on vacation. Boat's currently anchored about a quarter mile from the shore, and his... Don't mind me, Rob, just trying to keep that Boston South Shore accent, and it keeps slipping.
It's so accurate.
The surviving Krauses, he's got his wife, Allison, his eldest daughter, Sarah, his son, David, and the youngest daughter, Emily.
That's so many children.
Yes.
Did he regret that in his final moments, do you think?
Oh, well, they certainly weren't there to take care of him in his old age.
The entire family has said that he was drunk and he fell overboard. Now,
this is just like with Natalie Wood.
Sure. I mean, and that was never solved, or was
it? Exactly. No, it wasn't, I don't think
but
so.
Two of the murderers had very successful careers after that.
Similarly,
facing no repercussions whatsoever.
Similarly, I will say, you know, I'm smelling something fishy, and it's not just our short walk over to the aquarium.
You don't have the right to search me without a warrant. And she like grabs her pockets.
No, not. I wasn't talking. I wasn't talking to you, Debbie. I'm talking about this case.
All right. Okay.
This reminds me of when I was a little girl. Picture it, Sicily, 1942.
No.
Salvador DiVincenzo got so drunk on grappa that he accidentally proposed to a donkey. He was so embarrassed he threw himself into the Mediterranean.
Ah, yes, it's quite relevant. Sheriff, you should
listen. You've told this story about every case we get on. It's not similar to that. It's not similar to the grappa.
Right, listen. I would accuse you of anti-Italian bias, Rob, but that sounds pretty accurate.
Sounds pretty accurate. That sounds like it really happened.
Also, I found out recently I am Italian, so we can get into that.
Congratulations.
Hey, thanks. I'm super pumped. It explains a lot.
So listen. I smell something fishy, and I suspect foul play. Now, if I can't produce evidence, then this family, I'm going to be forced to let them go back to Boston, and I can't do a thing about it.
Oh, they're from Boston.
They're from Boston.
Shares a knowing look with the others.
Yeah. Big city folk with a big city yacht on a vacation, and something's not sitting right with me. And again, I'm the co-op. You are little old ladies. I'm the co-op. I'm the co-op.
You managed to fit 4 to 5 vowels in that word.
Co-op.
All I know is I could never even pretend to do this accent.
It was a roller coaster ride.
You're the ladies.
It was up and down.
Now, the body is currently being held in cold storage at the fish market until we can sort this out.
Really upsetting.
What happened to the morgue?
It's too far. We don't have a morgue in Brindlewood Bay. They'd have to go all the way to Boston.
Oh, yes, and that. We don't want that. Okay, we are a small town. Ladies, I think we know what to do. I think the first thing is we must, of course, go examine the body. That is
what
Amanda would
do. Hold on.
This is what you want from us, yes?
I have to remind you, you are helping me to prove that this is foul play. You are not solving this mystery. That's my job, and I'm a professional man.
Daryl. Are a big professional man.
Yes,
sure.
What a big
do not
word.
With your big professional underwear.
And your small penis. Edna told me many times what you're dealing with.
Takes his hat and he puts it back on his head.
Like playing a tiny little violin.
He just nods and tips his hat. Ladies. And he turns about face. And he turns back and he points and he says, call me if you find anything.
Of course, we will.
On my phone that I got from the government the other day. I don't know how to use it. The buttons are so small.
You open like those jitterbug phones that are, the buttons are huge, but you keep saying how the buttons are so small.
I can't see the screen.
You wouldn't want to read what's on there.
Sheriff Wyman Dalrymple leaves you, had this conversation many times. He tells you he needs your help, but not to get too involved and don't solve the case. But you know what you need to do.
We need to solve the case, ladies.
Exactly.
I couldn't understand a word he said.
It's a difficult accent to be able to hear
quite
true words.
Hard to do, hard to hear.
It's a lot of posturing, as you pointed out. Less well endowed than
you hear
wishes.
Him downstairs talking to someone else, just saying, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Yes. It's not your fault. It's fading into the distance.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Not you too.
What would you ladies like to do? You've been given some information and now you can explore and feel free to suggest things. There are certain locations that are in this book, but everything's open up to you.
The Sunshine Express is parked down in the parking lot. If you want a ride to the fish market.
Oh, that reminds me, Deb, when we're down there, I need to get some more of that little baggie with the green stuff in it that you grow in the back of there.
Oh, yes,
for my,
of course.
For my glaucoma.
You haven't happened to have made another batch of those chocolates, have you?
Oh, actually, I brought these.
And butter.
let's all eat a fucking weed brownie. These old ladies.
The brownies that I brought to you,
the book are club. In. You move to the RV. You move to the Sunshine Express, where you do have the brownies inside the Sunshine Express, obviously.
Just a nibble.
Who eats a weed brownie?
Deborah does.
A little touch, a little nibble.
Nibble, nibble. Okay, and your cat, what were you going to say?
Could my cat be in the RV, or does she need to stay in my cozy little place?
Oh, no, absolutely. You can transport your cat to any old cozy place. The only thing I would say is it might be hard to bring them to a clearly dangerous place, and maybe you wouldn't want to do that.
Of course.
But for now, the cat is with you, unless we say otherwise.
Miss Marple, hello, and I scratch her head.
Miss Marple.
Her name is Miss Marple?
Oh. Yeah. Oh, and I'll have just the tiniest little nibble, just to clear my mind.
When have we not done this when we solved the crime? Let's be serious.
Anybody who is nibbling, why don't you give me a...
just four high off their rockers grannies going around asking questions about a murder.
Why don't you give me a composure roll? 2d6 plus any modifier you have in composure. This is to keep your calm disposition or your concentration.
I rolled 11. A 12 total.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Mine's a 7.
Same.
7. So, okay. So 7 means that there is...
We add, though, right, to our thing?
Yeah, you add any modifier you have if you put one in composure.
Okay, I got a 9.
Mine's still a 7.
Okay. So that's actually, it's still in the same category, 10 and above. So Debbie and Myrna, you guys feel fine. You eat a lot of brownies together after the book club and stuff, and you just take a little nibble. Opal and Sophia, you start to feel, as you're driving towards the fish market, you don't know if it's the brownie or not, but you start to feel like there's a car following you.
Just full paranoid?
It's a sedan. It's a nice sedan. It looks new.
Not that
maybe
nice.
Fresh off the lot, but or well kept. It's a new year. But you notice this white sedan is just making the same turns you're making.
If I press my face up against the back window of the RV, can I see how many people are in the car?
You can see one sort of shadowed form just in the driver's seat.
He would be shadowed.
Oh, I think I made these brownies a little bit stronger than last time. It's gonna feel it in your body and before you feel it in your mind.
I shouldn't have drank all that gin.
And as you pull into the fish market, the mixture of gin and weed brownie in your stomach, adding to maybe your unease, as you pull into the parking lot of this fish market, you see this white sedan does not turn in and in fact turns off. And this fish market now, as you pull in, this is a popular area for tourists. The fish market has a lot of other parked cars in the parking lot. And as you get out, you see a young family on vacation. The mother is doing her best to keep her very unruly children calm as they start climbing over railings and onto rocks, overlooking the water that they clearly shouldn't be on. You also see a pair of very grizzled, kind of salt encrusted locals who are standing by, smoking some cigarettes by the pier. And the fish market itself is a big open area, kind of like those fish markets in Japan or in Pike Place when they show off the fish.
Named after a family of mine, actually. Oh, fun
of
story.
Course.
Fun
really?
Story.
Ancestry
yes,
goes
a long, long split off from the main branch of the family, so we don't have any of their money.
Coast to coast. You got West Coast, you got the East Coast. And as you walk up, you see there is a man showing off like a big bluefin tuna. And there's a crowd of people and he's, you know, they're throwing, they do the thing where they like throw it to the next guy and whatever. What would you like to do?
We step out of the RV, smoke billows out of the
door.
Yes. You were smoking and eating brownies.
Just hear like the end of a Grateful Dead song playing.
Yeah. Casey Jones, you better.
Oh God.
Where do we know?
It's
where
so bright.
Why? It's also, is it at nighttime?
Or is it daytime? It's not nighttime. It's daytime.
It's daytime. Okay.
It's daytime.
Okay.
Sophia takes out her blue blockers and puts them on over her glasses.
Great.
Do we know where they keep the bodies at the fish market, since apparently this is a thing they do?
I would say you assume in the back, not in the front area.
Not next to the tuna?
No. We go up and ask for the manager. Excuse me. Can I see the manager, please?
He's holding a big fish. Etienne! Etienne! And out walks a man with a big silver beard. This is Etienne Beauregard. You would know Etienne. Some of you might.
I was going to say, should we just assume we know everybody?
I mean, it's a small town, right?
For the most part, yeah. Unless somebody is a new face.
All these Boston tourists that keep swiping through.
Oh my God.
This is Etienne Beauregard. He does sort of like a romantic Frenchman of the sea performance for tourists. Mm. But you know he's from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Etienne,
perhaps?
Oh, Etienne. Is that how you pronounce it?
If it's French.
It's French. It's Etienne, then. Etienne Beauregard. Etienne.
Who can tell? Languages are hard.
He's an old friend. Who wants to be his old friend? Who knows Etienne?
Oh, I think Sophia and Etienne used to get it on.
I think so, too. This Frenchman of the sea, I think so, too. So you see Etienne Frenchman walk out, and you know that he is sort of the main guy at the fish market. And he sees you. And he's in front of the crowd, though. You see him look at the crowd, and then he looks at you. Oh, welcome. Welcome to the best fish market in all of the coastline. And he kind of looks at you, Sophie, and he's looking at you like, kind of like, what are you doing here?
Work your magic.
Etienne, come on. We gotta check out the back. We gotta check out the freezer. You know why.
Oh. And he again looks at the crowd. But of course, the best, freshest fish are only for the most beautiful of customers. It comes this way. And he looks at all of you and he points at each of you. And you as well.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, of course, dearie.
Allons. Allons-y. Early, let's go. This is him struggling.
Right into it.
And he leads you through this fish market as they're still performing for the crowd. You can feel like wet, gritty blood and fish bones beneath your shoes as you squelch
towards
the back.
You should really keep things cleaner, dearie.
And in the back of the fish market,
Myrna is horrified.
It is cold storage. It gets colder. You pass through those like plastic sort of flap things, multiple rows of them to keep in the cold air. And there's a chill.
Button the top button of my cardigan.
Uh-huh. And there's small sort of Edison bulbs strung ahead. And there is a strong fishy smell. And Etienne, how do you say it?
Etienne
turns around.
I don't speak French.
Sophia, what are you doing here?
Well, we talked to the sheriff there, and he said that there's a body got found. We gotta check it out. We gotta do his job for him, you know.
Oh, right. You're here for the body, of course.
But yes, maybe later she could be here for another body.
I gotcha. Real quick, I knit you some underwear.
Here for the body.
Pulls out much larger than the sheriff's.
And he goes, "Wow, I don't even know how these will fit. They might be a little tight. Might be a little tight on me, but thank you, Sophia." And he kind of strokes his gray beard. So the body. You're investigating alongside the sheriff, then?
More ahead.
Oh. All right. Why don't you give me...
What do you want?
I don't know. Maybe... I don't think composure again.
Am I trying to convince him?
Yeah, charisma? Give me presence.
Maybe presence.
Is it presence? Metal? Yeah.
You're charming him.
I can't read shit with this. 5. The underwear is real gross. It's practical.
5 means that something bad is going to happen.
Uh-huh.
So he says, no problem. come right over here. And as he's leading you towards this cold storage, you aren't looking where you're going. You're so maybe wrapped up with Etienne in this moment. You're rekindling the underwear. There's a lot of passion in the room right now.
It's bringing me back to that night in 1986.
You step on a fishbone that was protruding upward, and it pokes directly through your little soft rubber shoes that you wear, and you take 1 point of damage.
It got right through my orthopedics?
Got right through the orthopedics. You take a point of damage, which you're fine, but I'm going to give you a condition. I'll say you're not bleeding. I'll say you're just like wounded. I'll say you're wounded and your foot is going to start to sting. Yes, Paula.
Is this the kind of game where whenever you fail, you get to mark an XP box?
You know, I actually don't know. I don't know if it's a failure-based
XP.
Don't
worry about it, because this is a one-shot, so we don't need to spend time figuring it out.
But it's good to know. I can look that
up. Someone in chat knows.
That happens to Sophia. Sophia's like, got some motherfucker, you got it! And she starts like fucking losing her shit in Italian.
Etienne is like, oh no, and tries to help.
While they're dealing with that, can we look at the body?
Yes. You pull the body out. It's in this cold storage on like a tray, almost like a morgue.
When you're setting up your fish market, can you just in case install one of those body size
drawers?
The nearest
morgue is 45 miles away.
It's for big fish.
Dude, that can get really big, right? I don't know.
Yeah, they're really big. They have some.
Let's take a look at the catch of the day, shall we, ladies?
So you guys are going to do a meddling move. This is when you search for a clue or conduct research.
Yes.
So roll your appropriate ability of how you're going about this. So you tell me. I'll say this body is cold, dead, wet. But for more information, you'll have to roll something. So tell me what you're rolling.
We could roll with my reason. Because I have a +2. That would make sense, right? To look and see if I could interpret whatever I'm seeing on the body.
Absolutely.
I could use composure just to try not to lose my lose my focus or my lunch in this fish stinking dead body world.
I like it. Let's do one at a time and we'll see what turns up and how the rolls shake out.
Oh yeah, baby. That's a 12.
A 12. Incredible. Okay. So with a 12, you absolutely find a clue, and I will let you know you are. So tell me how you're searching the body.
I think I go into my Amanda Delacour mode, and I'm like, she always gets very close to the body to scan them for clues. It's gonna be fine. And so I like get really close to it and I start looking at all, okay, what color is his skin and how wet does he seem? And are there any other wounds on his body? I'm just with my face very close to the body. I'm looking for signs of wounds mostly.
Yeah. So as you're looking for signs of wounds, I'll say, you do notice bruising around his neck, which seems odd for somebody who drowned. And while you're sort of searching... Go ahead.
Do they seem like, since this was a 12, like fingerprint bruises or like a bruise that could have been caused by like a strip of something or, do you know, hands or some tool?
I'll say it looks more like a tool or a strip of something. They're not like fingerprint hand marks. It's more like a line.
Like a rot action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No cuts though. No cuts. So just like the bruising and redness.
Some sort of ship rope.
And you also find a document in sort of like a, not a manila envelope, but like a brown book, I guess, like a thicker than a manila envelope. So it's not as waterlogged, but it's still a bit waterlogged. Mm-hmm. You pull it out and you find a document that calls into question the paternity of a child.
What in the world? What a strange thing for him to have on his person while out on the yacht with his family.
But you can't, because of its waterloggedness, you can't, there's no name on it that you can determine, but you can tell that that's what this document is.
Someone perhaps was unfaithful.
And Matthew, you wanted to roll a composure?
Yeah, but do I need to? Like, if all yeah,
you
roll,
you tell me. I mean, no. There's more clues to be found if you want to look for them.
I'll roll a composure and see if I can, you know, keep it straight with all these revelations on top of all the aromas. And I will not succeed. Well, I get a 7, so I succeed.
A 7
with a consequence.
Success with a consequence. Tell me how you're looking for clues. If it's different from Paula or what you're thinking, because you're using composure, so you're trying to keep your wits about you. Keep cool under pressure, not react to fear. How are you using that to search for a clue?
I take a little moisturizer out from my handbag and I put a little bit under each nostril. And then I try to examine, you know, like the extremities that might have gotten missed in the apparently the sheriff who didn't notice a waterlogged leather-bound book. In searching the body, but I'll like look under the fingernails and look under the toenails and kind of sniff the body to see if any strange odors pop out.
Okay. I'll say. With a consequence, you don't find anything different from the bruising. But I will say the moisturizer under your nose, you start to have some sort of reaction to it. And you've never had a reaction before to this moisturizer. And you think perhaps there is something on the body or that was ingested by the body that is reacting as you're getting close and like smelling and trying to look and things. There's some strange chemical reaction happening and it starts to burn under your nose.
Person.
Are you all right there?
Moisturizer. Yeah. It is interesting. There might be something on the body or something ingested. Perhaps he was poisoned before he was strangled. Before he drowned.
Poisoned, strangled?
Bum! And as you say, perhaps he was poisoned, strangled before he was drowned. The TV show that we're making cuts to a commercial as we will cut to a break so we can all refill our waters and use the bathroom and whatnot as we will continue this mystery when we get back.
This is so great, Sydney.
I'm going to make sure I sit down when I pee.
Oh, okay, great.
Thank you.
Everyone
for
stay
being
in
method.
Character. Everyone stay yeah. in character. Get your prune juice.
It's gonna take me a while.
And we'll be right back. I don't know how long the break is, but it'll
usually
be on
five.
Screen.
Five
minutes.
We've been doing a gentlewoman's five.
5 minute break. So we'll be back. Stay tuned, guys. Stick around while we continue this mystery.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search realms of peril and glory to find out more.
There are vampires out there. They're beside you in the darkness, but what people don't understand is that they're not monsters. They're just going to work, living their unlives. But we are a dying breed. Those who came before me, they are fearful and are not content to sit back and just disappear. And they'll do anything to fix that. From the creators of Parkdale Haunt comes Woodbine, a podcast about monsters, dreams, and changes, those you want and those you never saw coming. Season 2 arrives September 24th, distributed by Realm.
And smash cut, we're back from commercial break where, what did you say, Matthew, what did Myrna say? That maybe he was
poisoned before he was strangled, before he was pushed overboard and drowned.
Right. So we cut right back to that moment and it repeats just like old television, like back to the exact same moment with the piano cue. Poisoned, drowned. And then we do like a sort of ripple effect fade on that scene as all of our little old biddies are looking like, oh, maybe that's what happened. And we cut back inside the RV. Hazy smoke fills as you are driving toward...
The brownies are smoking.
Oh, I think maybe they've left them in the oven too long this next batch. Yeah,
you guys brownies. Are eating more brownies. Oh my goodness.
What?
Are you sure that's going to mix well with your medication?
It's fine.
So. You are driving to the location the sheriff told you to, where there is a boat off of the coast that you can then take to get on the Regal Lady, which is the Kraus family yacht.
Oh, look, ladies, it's named after us.
No one laughs.
Well, that's all right. I know you all like to judge.
So far, our little murder mavens have gotten two hard clues. Hard clues are what the players will use during the theorize part of the game, the theorize move, when our little old ladies will take the hard clues that they've gotten and start to theorize the actual events that have happened for the crime, for the mystery, for the murder. You have two hard clues so far. There will be more clues. This adventure that we're playing is called Dad Overboard, and it is a complexity 6, or I forget what the wording is. Complexity 6, which means any amount of clues that you're able to use over 6 will be modifiers to your theorized roll. So if you have 8 clues that you are able to use in your answer for theorize, you'll have a +2 when you roll for your theorize to see if you're right. That will be later in the game, but I just wanted to point that out in case people are wondering how do clues work? They work in a crazy way because there's no actual mystery written in the book. The players completely make it up, just like I am making it up when they ask for clues. There are things they get that might work and things they get that might be red herrings and mean nothing in the end. So it's a ton of fun.
Well, can we do a little non-theorized move theorizing? Because we started to touch in the RV. Can we talk about what we think?
Really quick, you can do an actual non-theorize, but talk about maybe the clues you've gotten as you approach this dock.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the children. One of the children murdered him when they found out they were going to be cut out of the will.
Yes, it's very possible. Or perhaps the wife, but not wanting it to come out that she was unfaithful.
Or she found out that he was stepping out on her, and she got the paternity results and tucked it in his vest as a final F-U, pardon my language.
Oh, that he was cheating, and so she was getting back at him by saying, guess what, actually, I cheated first.
Oh yeah, I guess it'd be hard for him to fake his own children, because he's not the one. I'm so stoned.
Yeah, it's all right, Sophia, it's all right.
I couldn't remember what comes out of the peen of the V.
Blueberry Rogue in chat points out this scenario is inspired by the first episode of Murder, She Wrote, which is so fun.
Jessica Fletcher also got stone balls.
Yeah, yep. She always
canonically,
was.
Canonically.
Also took an RV that was like Cheech and Chong.
As you pull up in the Sunshine Express, Debbie's RV, you reach this sort of... coast, this end of the coast. There's really no dock, actually, because as the sheriff told you, the yacht is just off the coastline, like a few miles in. It's not parked in a marina or anything. So you get there and there is a small boat, and there is a tall, lanky man inside it wearing like dazzling officer's whites with a huge megawatt smile, and he's waving over to you. Hello?
Ooh, look at him. Love a man in a uniform that's not a cop.
Oh. He waves you over. He's got graying at the temples. And he says, ladies, Yes, you can call me Curly, Captain Carl Willoughby here. I was told by the sheriff that you would be needing a ride to the Regal Lady. Is that true?
Yep, four Regal ladies trying to get to the Regal Lady.
That's right.
He loves, he like lets out a belly laugh, dazzling white smile. And now, he says, well, come on in. There's plenty of room for four beautiful women.
Why are you smiling so much, young man? There's been a murder.
Yes. Yes.
You have violent tendencies.
What?
Just a question.
Myrna, you can't just ask a young man if he has violent tendencies.
I hear that's what's gripping the young males of our nation today.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. I hear there's a loneliness epidemic. Are you lonely, Captain?
Are you an incel?
Have you been listening to those cast pods? Podcast?
As you get men in the microphones.
Are you listening to the news radio guy who's now influencing all of our politics?
Have you been injecting bleach into your bloodstream?
Did you eat Tide Pods this morning?
Have you or have you not seen a Kraken?
He raises
hitting your face with a hammer.
He raises as this is all happening in the boat. You are the boat. Yeah. He started to drive. He kind of raises his left hand and points to his ring finger, which does have like a gold ring on it. And he says, "No, I'm happily married. Have been for 20 beautiful years, and I've always lived in Brindlewood Bay. I'm a native, and no, you're right. It is sad. A man has died, and that is a terrible, terrible thing. And to die, you know, off of my boat. I'm captaining this boat while the Krauses took it on vacation. In fact, I convinced Mr. and Mrs. Kraus to come out this way about 10 years ago. They, as far as they were concerned, thought Brindlewood Bay was a backwater town. Wow. But I told them, you know, I was teaching them about the beautiful local history and the culture. Are you yourselves natives?
Oh, no, I moved here a few years ago, myself, yes.
Yep, me too. After my precious Luca passed away.
Jack.
I left New York.
My trip. Well, he wasn't really mine. He belonged to, several dozen other women, but we hadn't.
Oh, my. I wouldn't say I'm belonging anywhere. I go wherever my RV takes me.
Mm.
So you're saying it's your fault, then?
Well, no.
Are you saying you're the murderer?
No.
Where were you on the night of the event?
I was, of course, in my captain's quarters.
Not on the bridge, eh?
Am I a suspect?
Everyone is a suspect, dearie. Now, why were they coming here every year? Did it take, you tried to convince them 10 years ago, and then it took them a decade to finally take you up on it?
Well, I mean, I met them at a party and explained that I was a boat captain, which intrigued them. But when I told them that I normally sailed out of Brindlewood Bay, they couldn't believe it. Brindlewood Bay, they said, is not really on the map for folks like them. If you understand what I'm saying.
tell us about the children.
Oh, well, what is there to say? They
How old
all
are
seem...
they? Do they like their father? Are any of them violent looks?
Are they killers?
Like you?
I'm going to say this. You're meddling. I'm going to say this is a extremely old lady meddling. Why don't you give me a meddling move? Roll and tell me what you're using. Are you trying to, like, it sounds like you're trying to intimidate, maybe, or like charm? I don't know about charm, but
I guess it's an intimidate, right? We're trying to,
we're being pretty needling, aren't we?
Yeah.
So why don't you do your presence?
Oh,
so do we all roll? Does one of us roll? What, like, how's what's the best way to work?
You were pushing, so I would say you roll. It's really open ended for whoever's kind of asking the questions or doing the actions.
Okay, great. I'll roll with presence, so I get no bonus to this.
Come on, you can do it.
I rolled a 9.
Okay,
a 9, a mixed kind of success. Okay, so he says, the children, David is a bit snippy. He's the son. Sarah, she's, I believe, the eldest. She's nice. I suppose. Emily, she's involved in her phone. She's young. You know, kids these days with, like you said, their cast pods and whatnot.
Yes,
and their
yes.
Tiki Talks. And their Tiki Talks. And Allison, Allison didn't seem too perturbed with the news. And Allison is the wife.
And how old are the kids? I'm sorry. In my mind, they were adults, but...
They're adults. They're all adults. Yeah, so I would say, like, David is probably in his 40s, Sarah's in her late 30s, and then Emily is in her 20s.
What news are you referencing?
Before that happens, you had a mixed success.
Yeah.
So, Myrna... When you were getting up, you were sort of pestering this captain, and you got up to move closer to him and maybe intimidate him a little bit. And when you did, you bumped the shifter of the gears. And suddenly the boat lurches as it starts to speed up as you bumped it like two notches higher. Why doesn't everybody give me a roll? What is the athletic one? Your vitality.
Oh, no.
Sophia's like, finally a little action.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Oh, that could have been worse.
Yeah,
I
rolled
a four.
Oh, okay. Opal, what did you roll?
Seven.
Seven. Debbie rolled a four. Sophia?
Seven.
Seven. And Myrna?
Ten.
Yeah.
Ten.
Oh.
Myrna was just like it. Looking at the birds flying by, just enjoying herself out on the lake.
Weed. Oh. So because you failed, Kate, tell me what the worst thing is that would happen to you. It's still daytime, so this is a day move. So you tell me, like, what's the worst outcome that you could imagine?
I mean, falling off the boat, I would think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Falling off the boat.
Falling off the boat.
So yeah, you fall off the boat. You fall off the boat as it lurches forward. You tumble. You, like, take a few steps. You almost catch yourself. And then, splash, you fall out of the back of the boat. Myrna, you grab the captain's shoulders. You're completely fine. Both Sophia and Opal, as it lurches, you knock heads into each other and are dazed as you plop back down into the boat.
My glaucoma's gone.
On your butts. Okay,
now, Sydney, is this crazy to assume that this man just invited four old women onto his boat? He probably put life preservers on us, right? So he doesn't get, like, sued?
Legally.
Don't remember saying that he did.
But he would.
I would say, yes. He's a captain. I would say
that's
you have
very
a life
responsible.
A life vest
for
on.
Infirm women.
Perhaps the audience forgot for a moment as you splash, tumble into the boat, but then... Whoop, your life vest auto-inflates.
It's one of those ones that auto-inflates, right.
Yeah, when the water.
Yes.
We gotta turn this around! And she grabs the wheel and starts pulling the boat around.
The captain, we had these life vests on.
This reminds me of, picture it, Sicily, 1944. Tommaso Casanelli brought me out on the lake for a nice branzino dinner. He got so nervous he fell off the side of the boat. I decided to break up with him then and there.
You know, that's an interesting. The water's so nice. I'll meet you there.
As you turn this boat around, the captain kind of slaps your hand out of the way, Sophia, as you try to grab the wheel.
All right, all right.
And he moves the boat back very carefully, and you scoop Debbie back up, who is soaking wet and maybe a little frightened, but is otherwise unharmed.
Oh,
and
Deb.
You make your way back onto
the
boat.
I saved a little piece of brownie. And out of her pocketbook, she pulls a piece of brownie wrapped up in a Kleenex and hands it over to Debbie.
Yeah, take a little edge off.
Okay.
And you keep moving now at a faster pace as the boat speeds along and the sun is slowly setting in the sky. And we will be moving into like night moves the next time you try things, which is trickier. You make your way to the Regal Lady, a blinding white yacht parked in the middle of this ocean. You easily, with help, climb up into the little area to get back onto the yacht, and then climb up a little ladder. The captain is very kind and kind of guides you back up. Nobody has to make any like climb rolls, and you move onto the Regal Lady, where you are greeted by a butler. Oh. A man turns to you and says, "Hello, welcome aboard. You must be
the Murder Mavens."
"Yes, that you've is heard right.
of
us."
"Of course, of course. Andrew, you can call me Andrew. I am the Krause's butler."
"All right. Andrew, do you have a towel or a change of clothes?"
"Yes."
"But of course, by the pool cabana, there are towels." "Ooh." "And this boat is extravagant, and I would like each of you to say something that is a part of this yacht or on this boat that makes the opulence just absolutely ridiculous. These people have way too much money. What is something that is on this yacht?"
A table with one of those champagne glass towers,
mm-hmm.
and then like a little fountain of champagne that's constantly pouring into it.
Yes, that is right near that cabana, just a forever flowing champagne tower, clearly with like hidden kegs of champagne underneath that it constantly yes. replenishes it. What else is there on this yacht?
It's a helicopter pad.
There is a helicopter pad. Oh, yeah. Of course there's a helicopter pad. How are they going to get back enough. To Boston? They're not going to actually sail the ship.
They're not going to take the boat.
Yeah. What else?
You know how on like fishing boats they have the little holders on the gunnels that you can put the mm-hmm. fishing poles in? They have those all around the edges, but they're all selfie sticks.
Incredible. All facing inwards at all times.
Just in case they need to grab one.
Oh, just ready notice. To go. Okay.
Yeah. And then laid out in the shade on a long table is a manicotti sampling bar with all different kinds of manicotti.
Wow.
Different cheeses. Sophia's
truly,
like,
truly luxurious.
Yeah. Wow. Right near the...
we all start gobbling up the manicotti. The manicotti.
Oh, this is just what I needed.
Yes, help yourself to the manicotti.
Oh, great.
Many different types of manicotti. Help yourself, Andrew, the butler says.
This is just like back in Sicily. This is how we do it.
Andrew looks absolutely flabbergasted, but stands near you nonetheless. And what would you like to do now that you are on the Regal Lady?
Can we talk to the kids one by one? Yeah.
Sure.
Should we spoil
it? I want Deborah to go and take clothes from the wife's closet.
Yeah.
And not only wear them, but also like investigate.
Yeah, poke around while you're in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we want to split? Do we want to split? And some people.
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
we can
take a kid. Exactly.
And then Kate takes the room. Yeah.
Okay.
The room and the wife, maybe.
So there is Sarah Krause, the older daughter, David Krause, the son, and then Emily Krause, the younger daughter. And then you want to go to Allison Krause's room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Andrew can help you if you ask where the different people are. He has a vague idea of where they might be on this very large boat. He points you towards who wants to go talk to Sarah Krause, the older daughter.
I could talk to her.
Sure. So Opal, Andrew says that Sarah Krause will be near the pool.
Of course.
She is out by the pool. As you approach her, she's laying in a beach chair, but she's not in a bathing suit. She's actually covered up in like a black shawl. She has black sunglasses on and a big black beach hat.
Yes.
And when you approach her, she's crying.
"Oh, my dearie, my name is Opal. Please don't let me interrupt your time of grief. I know this must be very difficult. I am sent over by the town. You know, we have a very cute little thing we do here where retired women offer grief support. So the town has sent me over to speak with you. Please tell me anything you would like to about your father. Get it off your chest."
She is dabbing her eyes with like a beach towel that is like also running black with mascara. And she says, "That's so kind of you. I don't know what to say. I love my father. Do you really think that somebody could have
killed him?
Oh, dearie, well, anything is possible. The world is a dark place. Tell me, what is the last moment you remember seeing him?
Well, we were supposed to have a lobster dinner, and...
Yes, of course.
My father, he loves lobster, and he wanted to wear his best shirt, of course.
Of course.
And I think I said that I would see him at dinner. And I think that's the last time I saw him.
And then he went to change clothes.
I imagine, but you know, he likes his to drink, and he had been drinking. I mean, we have the champagne tower, yes, so we've course. All been drinking.
Yes, and... I mean, I've been having pot brownies, so I understand.
What?
Oh, dear, you know how it is. You just have to keep the glaucoma at bay, as my friend Sophia says. Was there any sort of upsetting news or announcement, perhaps, that he... I know this seems strange to ask as a grief counselor, but it's nice to know, like, is there any other grief you're dealing with? Not just the death, but also something upsetting that happened just prior to the death?
She thinks, why don't you give me a meddling roll?
Pitch for you.
Yes.
I have a bag with me. I open the bag and Miss Marple pops out. And I say, now make her feel better, Marple. And she goes and sits on her lap to give me advantage on convincing her that she should tell me things.
I love it. Emotional support cat. Yes, Miss Marple goes and sits. She starts petting her and you can see she's relaxing and she wants to tell you things. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and roll that with advantage.
All right. Did you say what a skill should it be? Presence? Because I'm trying to convince her.
Yeah, you're being very charming and very sweet.
Okay, so 3d6, and I'll take the higher value. I have a 0 in this, so it's just whatever's on the dice. I rolled 2 ones. So that's a fail. Man. Is there anything?
Okay,
I don't know.
So,
no, you could use your...
Your crown.
You can put on a crown.
So here's the thing. We've now moved into knight moves.
Yeah.
Which are more dangerous. Mm-hmm. So with the knight move, you tell me... you tell me the worst thing that could happen right now in this moment. Just...
There's also... One other thing. Isn't there some mechanic where if we fail something, we can go, cut to commercial! And we, like, improv a commercial, and we come back, and she didn't actually fail?
The best part about this game is also that it's a bit like a choose-your-own-adventure book, so we can fully play out this terrible thing that happens, and then you can put on a crown, and we can undo it. Or we can cut to commercial and change our outcome. But I'm curious, like... It doesn't seem like you're about to fall off the boat or something. What is the worst thing that happens right now in this moment?
I feel like the worst thing in this moment that could happen probably is her just completely clamming up and getting upset with me and refusing to give me any more information. I feel like. And I mean, if we wanted it to be really bad, she could also decide that her privilege means she gets to keep Miss Marple and walk off with the cat.
Oh.
That'd be pretty bad.
Or she's allergic to the cat.
So
she's having an allergic reaction to Miss Marple. Oh. That's good.
So I think, and with the knight move, basically you tell me what you're afraid will happen if you fail or if you lose your nerve, and then I, as the keeper, will tell you how it is worse than you fear.
What?
So that's what happens with the knight move. And on a failure like that, I would say 100% that all happens. She clams up, she immediately stops talking, her hand starts to get like itchy. She starts scratching her hand and it like has hives. And she starts looking at you. What are you doing? What did you do to me? And then she tries to shove Miss Marbles off of her and pushes this cat very, like, very hard. And Miss Marbles lashes out and scratches her on her face.
And it
becomes a literal cat fight. Like, Miss Marbles is freaking out. You're on the deck of a boat. Miss Marbles is now, like, water from the pool, you know, splash it. Everyone is freaking out. She's, like, ripping this cat off of her face, screaming. Now, we can live with this happening. Or we can cut to commercial. So Paula, I as the keeper will now cut to commercial. Mm-hmm. And I will find, they have these prompts in the book, which are very fun. And I will have you basically
great
improv VO of a commercial.
Great.
So let's go with the Holy Spirit, an alcoholic beverage for Christmas. It says for Christians, but I changed it to Christmas.
That's very funny. And this is just the VO of a commercial?
Yeah, I mean, you can act it out too. But yeah, so we see this all happening with Ms. Marbles and Opal. And then, boop, we cut to commercial.
Gee, honey, I really wish there was a way to properly celebrate the birth of Christ today. Well, dear, I have just the thing. We see a shot of a bottle of liquor, fortified wine, get set down on the table. But honey, isn't the blood of Christ more appropriate for Easter? No, dear. Every Christian holiday is an important part of the story of our Lord. Here, have some. She pours a glass. He takes a sip. He gets a little halo over his head. I feel closer to God already. And then cut to the wife going, ding.
A wink from the
little
wife.
Little angel. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Amazing.
And when we cut back... That
the
didn't
Holy
hap-
Spirit, just for Christmas.
Just for Christmas.
Only during Christmas.
And no maybe other Easter. Times.
So the way the cut to commercial works, when we cut back, the success is actually one tier higher than what you rolled. So instead of that horrible outcome happening,
right.
Sarah looks at you and now she says, success. And she's petting Miss Marbles and she says, I can't think of anything. I'm sorry. I just need to be alone. And she stands up and walks away. But when she does, you still had a success with that complication of her leaving. You see underneath her and kind of stuffed into the towel that she was laying on a diary. And
I love how this family keeps booklets on them.
When you open the diary, you see an entry that says, I just can't take it anymore.
Oh, shit.
And we will cut to Kate. We have Debbie, who is searching for Allison's bedroom. Are you telling Andrew that you want to find the bedroom, or are you trying to find it on your own?
I think I'm trying to find it on my own. Like, she's. I feel like I'm half, like, coherent of, like, I'm going to go find their room and search through it, but also, like, I want to wear her clothes and be a little silly.
Give me a meddling roll just to see if you're able to find it. There are a lot of rooms. And let's do like presence, maybe, or no, let's do reason.
Okay. Reason. Oh my God. Okay. I'm gonna wear my crown. I rolled 2 ones.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no. It's not going well.
Guys. Okay. So you're gonna wear your crown.
Yeah.
So you get an automatic success. Let me just make sure I read the crown one correctly. Boop, 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 boop. Advantage the crowns. So, powerful tool that allows them to resist putting on a crown after a die roll. The player can choose to put on a crown and increase their die result by 1 success tier. Okay. So, with that double failure, I think the outcome of the bad thing is that you stumble in on David, the brother, who is making out with a crew member of the yacht.
Of course.
In like a storage room. And that is the bad outcome that doesn't happen. So instead, you do find the wife's room, but she's in there. So that's the complication. So you do find the correct room, but she is inside the room. What would you like to do?
So since you rewound time or whatever, just said that doesn't happen, does that mean that canonically you've revealed that he is having an affair with somebody on the boat, or we don't know.
Maybe that exists. Maybe it doesn't.
I think she stumbles in and is like sopping wet, maybe has a towel from the butler, not sure, but walks in and sees Allison in there, or like walks around the corner to where the closet is, just like walks into the room. Oh, this must find the closet, and walks around the corner, maybe
Allison's like coming out of the bathroom or something.
Yeah, Allison is sitting on the corner of the bed. So when you turn that corner, you see the closet and then also the bed is revealed. And she looks up at you and she's wearing sort of like linen, very fancy linen wear. And she says, "You're what?"
Oh, yes. Yes, I fell off the boat on the way here. Isn't that wild? I was just looking for some clothes to change, and these bell bottoms, they're pretty heavy with all this water in them.
Hmm.
Would you like a brownie? And
who are you?
Oh, my name's Deb. Debbie Doyle.
Okay. Clothing, sure. Yeah. What do you need? I have Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Gucci, Lisa Says Ga.
Whatever you think I would look the best in.
And she starts flipping through and she pulls out sort of like a frock. And she says, here, I never wear it anyway.
Oh, do you have any jewelry? I feel like this accessories will really make the outfit pop. Some shoes. What size feet are you?
She's just like rubbing her temples. And
what
she says,
size feet are you?
It is just like him to go and get himself killed.
Oh. Got himself killed?
Hmm?
Got himself killed? What was
yes.
that?
Yes. Albert, my husband, isn't that why you're here?
Yes, that's
why everyone is crawling all over my beautiful yacht, dirtying it up with your wet, soaking wet pants.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but...
And I sit down on the bed next to her, and I go, I
wasn't lying. I do have a brownie, if you'd like a brownie.
No, I don't want a brownie, unless the brownie is going to help my charity fundraiser. You know, I'm supposed to be hosting the 4th annual Warriors Ball. The charity event for veterans suffering from testicular cancer?
Oh! I mean, perhaps the brownies could. I could make some and sell them.
You're not invited to the ball!
Why are you telling me about it then?
Because! And she stands up. She stands up in like frustration and like she knocks something off of like the night table. She says, because! That man can be so self-involved. Here I am, on the precipice of charity fundraising greatness, and he goes and gets himself killed like that.
Does it look good for your charity?
Exactly.
Or does it take all of the focus away?
God, tired. She sits down. What is it you want?
What do you remember him last doing before he died?
Drinking. That's what he always does. He's a drunkard. He's a drunkard, and he did exactly what he loved doing. Drinking himself until he fell... I was going to say asleep, but I guess fell overboard.
Where did he fall overboard?
I don't know. Isn't that your job?
I mean, sure. Yes, you're right. Do you know anyone who might know where he fell? Are there cameras on this boat? It's a very nice boat.
There's selfie sticks everywhere. I don't know.
Selfie sticks? Selfie sticks?
Yes, selfie sticks. You put your phone in them. They take photos from far away. My daughter...
And she takes out her government-issued phone. You put your phone in the stick? This phone? Let me see. Do I have a camera on here? And she puts her...
She stands up and she just says, take the dress. And then she will go to move away from you in this. It's a very large bedroom. Why don't you give me a meddling roll? What do you think for meddling? What do you think you were doing?
I was kind of reasoning, but I think it was mostly presence.
I almost want to say composure, too. You were very, like, focused. Like, you just kept talking to her. I don't know if you were trying to charm her, so I would say maybe composure.
Mm. Okay. I'll take that, because that's the only thing I have points in, really.
Yeah.
Do it.
Ooh, that's nice. Okay. That's a 12 total.
Oh,
ooh,
incredible.
Perfect.
Yeah. So you... Ooh, let's see what you will find. As she moves away, you now have time to sort of sift through the closet. She's not paying attention to you. You start looking around, and you find in the closet a blood-soaked rug, a small rug that had been rolled up and clearly put into the closet.
What? Oh. I feel like I'm trying to think, like, we maybe thought that, like, the wife could have been a suspect, but since she seems so mad about him taking the spotlight being murdered, I'm not sure if she might be, like, the person who did it. I'm wondering if I can, as I'm, like, trying to get a dress, if I can take the crumpled up carpet and, like, stick it under my dress.
It's small, but it's not that small.
Oh, it's not that small?
I think it would be very awkward to stuff it under your dress. You can do it, but you will have something stuffed under your dress.
Can I try to take a photo of it with my government issue phone?
Yes. I'm going to roll a d20 just to see.
Oh, I literally rolled a 10. The camera app on this phone.
With a 10,
the buttons.
With a 10, you take the photo, but it is, you moved the phone too fast and it is so blurry. So that's the photo you get. And we will jump, as you're taking this picture, we zoom in on your blurry, like, camera phone and transition to Rob.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Okay. Who is the, so there's still the brother who may or may not have been canoodling.
And David then and the youngest sister, the youngest daughter.
And the youngest daughter is the one who's, like, hip, right? And just sort of like, all right, so that's who I think Matthew should talk to. Because I feel like it should be hip versus hip.
Oh, so
hip.
I can use my style for advantage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'll be, she's, like, standing at the manicotti bar. And just, like, eating manicotti. She's like, I could do better. And then maybe looks up and sees David come out of the hold? What the fuck
you
is it
see
called? Below
David,
decks?
Yeah. David walking out onto the main deck from inside. He's on the phone, and he seems to be, like, arguing on the phone. Okay. What would you like to do?
I just walk right up to him, and I'm like...
Yeah. And can I give you a call back? And he hangs up the phone. Can I help you?
You a murderer?
Excuse me.
You kill?
No.
You kill family?
Is this about my father?
Did someone else die on this boat?
I hope not. This has been a whirlwind. I'm David.
Nice to meet you, Detective Sophia Pellegrino.
Sophia Pellegrino?
Yeah.
Sorry. Detective. I'm a little bit busy. Do you need something?
Well, yeah, myself and my compatriots here, we're trying to get to the bottom of what happened to your beloved father.
Yeah,
listen. I've got a fucking Massachusetts accent.
Yeah, where are you from? Listen, it's very sad. It's very sad. I wasn't that close with my dad, okay? And you, give me a meddling roll right off the bat. And give me, give me composure.
These dice can fuck right off. this is, oh, composure though? 10.
That's 10.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
That's great.
Let's see 10.
You see, his hand is bandaged, and it's bleeding through the bandage a little bit. Mm. And I'll give you, before that, when he was on the phone, you overheard him talking about money, about, like, a debt or something. And he's kind of holding the phone, and he says, I'm a little bit busy. Can I help you with something?
Yeah. Just notice... Your bruise down there, your little cut. How'd that happen?
I cut my hand on a glass. It was dinner.
A glass. Wow. And your father, does he have any questions about his virility? Is not the right word so much as paternity.
Excuse me?
Paternity. Is he your biological father?
Yeah, of course he's my biological father. What kind of question is that?
A pertinent one, motherfucker. Are you stepping into Sophia? She starts to, like, the Sicilian starting to come out.
Yeah, she starts
you
to take this,
speak,
like...
speak to me with a little bit more respect, young man. I'm 106 years old.
Jesus. She starts taking, like, a little old lady fighting stance. Yeah. And we'll quickly cut to Matthew, because we're running out of time. Matthew, what are you doing?
I go find Emily, the youngest.
Yes.
Is she perennially on her phone, right? That's what we know about her?
Yes, she is. You find her sitting in sort of like the lounge area. She's like laying down, and yeah, she is on her phone.
I'll take out my phone which is bedazzled. Mm. And it's bedazzled in color coordination with my glasses and chunky jewelry.
Yes,
and captain
yes.
And belt. And she'll kind of, I'll kind of position myself kind of, we're on the deck, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
I'll position myself like on the railing in her point, like if she were to look up for my phone, her phone, she would see me. And I'll kind of play it cool for a minute.
She kind of, you can tell she's eyeing you. Then she says, what is that? A Nokia?
I hold up. Oh no, it's just an iPhone 17 Pro.
She puts her phone down. It was an iPhone 15.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, wow. Pretty cool.
Only the finest.
And she kind of goes back to texting.
I do too. And then after a moment of silence, I say, I know what it's like, you know. Being the youngest, I'm sure they don't tell you anything, do they?
Yeah. Not that I even want them to.
I know what it's like. I was the youngest. And then when my trip died, I was the least important person at that funeral. As it turned out, the things I knew, they thought I didn't know, but I knew things.
Yeah, I know lots of stuff. I was like, you know, like I pay more attention than they think I do. They always say I'm not paying attention, but I actually am. It's called multitasking. Ever heard of it? Hmm. She goes back to texting.
What kinds of things?
Give me a meddling.
This is such a brilliant way to approach this, Matthew.
Latine, yeah. Reverse psychology to the max.
Can I use my style as to get advantage on this role?
Yes, you can.
Yeah. Excellent.
Thank you. Okay.
And you're doing presence to charm?
I was going to do composure. Like I was
do
like,
composure.
I'm playing it cool.
Do composure. You're keeping it cool, calm, and collected.
Okay. Because of the advantage, I got a 12.
Yes!
Nice.
Incredible. So, with that 12, I think she rattles off some things. She says, yeah, I mean, like, I know lots of stuff. Like, for instance, Mom is having an affair. Wow, shocker. We all know it, but nobody's talking about it. Isn't that interesting? God, she won't even admit it herself. Like, I tried to confront her one time. I made a fake account online, and it's not important. Yeah, I also know that the gun that Dad keeps in his safe, that's missing. So isn't that interesting? Like, nobody pays attention to that. We all know the code to the safe. We pretend like we're not taking money out of it, but we all are. And she then also says, and yeah, I found those receipts that somebody didn't want me to. Somebody tried to stuff them into the trash chute, but I found them because I accidentally dropped my iPod down it, and I made the captain go get it.
iPod?
And
yeah,
it's a new thing. They're coming back in a big way.
They're coming back.
she says, and all those receipts for like tons and tons of extravagant things, like paintings and like a new car. Like, who is that even for? Not me. I'm not getting any of that. And like, I mean, I'm probably not even in the will. It's like something we don't even talk about in the family. So what motive would I have? Like, I'm not going to kill my own dad. That's stupid. She goes back to texting.
I'm sure you're in the will, dear.
And she kind of peeks over her phone. I don't know. I know I look a little different from my sister and my brother. And they always bullied me about it. But I don't know, after this, I'm starting to wonder if it's true, the things they always said, you know, like the adopted jokes, but I don't know. I don't think I'm adopted. I mean, I kind of look like my dad.
Does she? I mean, we've seen them, like, is there an actual thing, or is she just kind of projecting?
She's projecting, but like she does look different from her siblings. Her siblings both have dark hair and she does have light hair. That's the one stark difference. But like that happens. Sibling, you know, that's not unlikely. And with that, because we literally have like 10 minutes left, we will jump to our theorize. I wish we had more time to like dive into these characters.
This is such a great taste, it's okay, though. Yeah.
This is
maybe we can come back if the nation demands it. This crew will have to come back. So demand
and we could
it.
Do
you know what?
A
Audible.
Season.
I'm not going to do any Star Wars shit. Let's get 10,000 to do this.
Bay for 10,000. We decided
they can't make me.
Yeah. What are they going to do? Force you?
So well, also, like, because of the way that, but the way the game works, like, we could be right with whatever we come up with.
Yes.
Have some theories.
So okay. Basically, I'll say that the sheriff comes back. Everybody is on the boat together. And you've basically called the sheriff, like, we know.
We gather everyone in the library.
Yes. Everyone is in the library.
The boat library.
And you say, we know what happened. And now with theorize, you guys discuss together, based off of your clues, what actually happened. There needs to be, let me pull it up. There needs to be motive, something. You start talking and I'll pull it up.
Okay. Hear me out.
Yeah, go.
And then I'll just spitball my idea real quick and then y'all change whatever you want from it. All right. David is in debt. He's the one with all the receipts. He's spending money he doesn't have. He finds out about his mom's affair and somehow gets his hands on these paternity docs. So he takes them to his dad last night while he's changing his shirt before dinner and says, hey, Dad, look at this, but I won't tell anyone if you give me a bunch of money to pay off all my debts. Dad said, no way, I'm not doing that. David gets mad. He breaks the glass of his drink where he cuts himself. The blood goes all over the rug. But then, he's strangling his dad because he's angry that he won't pay him the money to get out of debt. And that's how it happens.
That's pretty great.
Jump from there.
I mean, my only thought was that did he like cut himself on the rope?
Yeah, like,
that's,
yeah.
Like, was... Oh, while strangling him.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't even mean to fully strangle his dad. Maybe he was like, I'll just do this until he says yes.
Yeah. Or was it that he found out that the adopted daughter is actually going to get all the money? And that set him over. Yeah.
Because of his debt.
Yeah.
He's like, she's not even your real daughter.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kate? You've got...
And then, like, putting the rug, like, in his mom's room's closet to, like, possibly frame her.
Oh, that's good, too, because she was so, like, fine with the death. Yeah.
Because it didn't make sense that, like, I found it in there, to me, after talking to her.
Or she did it just to, like, she knows... who did it, but she's trying to save face, like the family reputation.
Maybe she saw her son doing it and is trying to protect them. And she's like, I have to cover this up now. Like,
That would be even worse publicity.
She could be involved.
It's not only an accidental death, it's a murder from the family. Yeah, sorry,
The parents could also have differing opinions on who they want to succeed the father eventually.
Yeah.
Like, David could be the mom's candidate, so she feels obligated.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, so that's why she felt even more compelled to cover up for him.
But maybe, like, the dad... Maybe the dad was gonna... Like, his favorite is actually the youngest, who's not
even...
The adopted daughter's not even his biological daughter.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, so he put her in the will.
So we think it's Dave, but we think it's David.
I think it's David.
David, I think what's juicier is that David and then his mother, like, was an accomplice.
Maybe knows, and tried to help cover it up.
Yeah. Okay.
Suspects, yeah.
I'm loving this. So basically, we go through like these clues you guys have gotten and we determine if you're using them in your theorize. So theorize for those at home, the Mavens have an open, freewheeling discussion about the solution to a mystery once they've gathered a number of clues equal to at least half the mystery's complexity rounded up. So you guys have more than three. This was a six complexity one. So cuts on David's hand. We think that was either from, what do you want to say, the rope. Okay, great.
Yep.
Whatever he used to strangle is fine. Yeah.
Great, the strangling weapon. Blood from that moment from David's hand gets on this rug. The mom takes this rug and hides it to cover it up for the family's sake. Yeah. So those are all being done.
And she says he got drunk and fell over.
He got drunk and fell over, and it's all cover up. The debts, we think that David had debts and was arguing with his dad. And that's his motivation. We think that was the motivation.
Yeah, because he wanted his dad. He's like, hey, look, I have blackmail information on you, and it's this paternity result. I know it's upsetting to you because you weren't the one who was cheating, but it's going to ruin the family reputation. So give me the money or I'll tell everyone.
And I succeed you. Yeah, it also could be like, you know, and I take over the family business.
Yeah.
Great. So those are all check. And then anything with the receipts for those expensive purchases, are you tying that in at all? Or the gun missing from the safe? They don't have to be, but they were more David's, clues you got.
I mean, the receipts could be part of why David is in debt.
David's debt, yeah.
David's receipts. Excellent. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 that you did, excluding the gun in the safe one. So you got 8, which means it's 2 over the 6 complexity, which means you get a +2 to your theorize roll.
Nice.
So okay, anybody can do this roll. There's no add-ons to it except for this +2 modifier. If it's a 10 plus, it's the correct solution. A 7 through 9, it's the correct solution, but I might add a unwelcome complication or something. And then the other is, it's an incorrect solution. Okay. So let's see.
Who rolls it?
Who wants to roll?
My dice have been real cold. I don't
Mine
trust.
Mine haven't been great. I think either Kate or Matthew should
but
roll.
Paul, you were the it was Opal's spearheading yeah. this
but
theory.
But my dice rolling is not good.
Matthew, you roll 1 and Kate roll 1 and then we'll add them together.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Let's Here we go. I got a 5.
Okay.
I got a 3.
Okay. Good.
7, 8, 9. So
wait, no, 5 and 3. 8.
Oh, sorry. 5 and a what?
Oh no.
5 and 3.
Oh no. Oh no. 8, 9, 10. Wait.
So it's just 10. So we had 2.
Just saying numbers.
Oh, +2. Sorry.
+2. So 5, 3, 2.
I was reading when you guys were talking.
That's okay.
10 total. It is the correct solution.
Smart. So murder mavens.
When you guys are discussing this, it is very dramatic when you say that it was David. So how does this shake out? This will be when you apprehend the culprit.
Can it we involve the selfie David. Sticks?
So, Sophia, you should do tell it. Me. You wanted to fight him.
Let's go popcorn style, and you each sort of tell me how you go about this wrap up of how you apprehend David or the mother or whatever you want to do.
So, we're in the study of the boat.
You are in the
study.
We've
gathered everyone. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, and so we're kind of going around, we're tagging in and out. Also, the sheriff is there, I think. We've called him.
Yes, he's like, there. He's standing there holding his hat, very proud
of
you guys.
Yeah, the whole time he's like, come on, ladies, you know, what are we doing? We're wasting our time here. He's like doing all that shit.
Can't possibly be this. Let's go on something serious.
I'm a cop. Well-upstanding family, you can't, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it comes back around to, well, I was going to say, like, whoever wants the final, like, the Columbo-style, like, final dagger is not Sophia.
Okay.
But so that could be somebody else. But I think what happens is once we point the finger at him, he's like, "Oh, you'll never catch me!" And he starts to like run out of the thing.
Yes.
And Sophia reaches into her purse and pulls out the one remaining pot brownie that's super stale. And just goes, "Yeah!" And like throws it, and it like hits him the back of the head.
Yeah.
Yes. David starts to run as he realizes that the walls are closing in on him and your eyes start all to look at him. He starts to sprint. You whip a pot brownie out. It hits him in the back of the head. He stumbles. He's stumbling, falling to the ground. Who's acting? Opal, what does Opal do?
Oh, Opal says, Butler, please grab him. Clearly, grab him.
Andrew sort of looks at Allison, the wife. Allison is shaking her head. No, do not grab him. And Allison is now running towards the other exit door. What does Debbie do?
I run in front of the door that Allison's trying to exit. And I go, not so fast. And I hold my camera phone out. There we
like
go.
It's a weapon.
Yeah.
Your I know flash, how to use this.
Your flash is perpetually on. Oh. Yes. And it's just blinding Allison.
Full person move and the flash is on the whole time. My battery's gone down so quickly.
The alarm's going off.
Yes.
An alarm has been going off this entire time quietly on his phone.
When the saints go marching in as your ringtone.
And Myrna, what do you do as David and Allison are sort of being apprehended?
Myrna, kind of between the situation, removes her beautiful chunky glasses and goes, and the worst crime of all is that all of you have terrible taste.
Yeah.
Boom. And with that, we sort of do the vignette, zoom in on the old ladies as they're each in their like positions, almost Charlie Angel style.
Yep.
Reading books.
Brownie yes. being thrown, glasses being pulled down, cell phone out with the flashlight. And yes, Opal is pointing and saying like, how dare you? And we see the text writing in script as we fade out.
Yep.
Until next time, MM for the murder mavens.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Meow. Oh yes, Ms. Marbles. Meow. Yep. And that's it.
guys.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, and Sydney, wow. That was great.
Incredible, great work, incredible so job solving that mystery that I don't think I would have been able to solve. We have to jump off. I wish we could have kept playing. Maybe in the future, this could be something that we come back to. I would love to run this long term and see how it shakes out and how we tie in the supernatural horror into it.
Yeah, I want to get into that stuff big time.
Yeah, we can kind of get into the void and all that stuff. It's a big part of this this game. Thank you so much, chat. We're still making our way up, hoping to unlock more Star Wars content. So stick around. We've got Delta Green coming up next. Some Get in the Trunk that Joe's going to be running.
Nice.
Thank you all so much. This was such a pleasure.
Thank you, Sid. Great work. I love you. We love you.
I love you.
We love you. Bye.
Bye,
you
bye.
Don't call enough. Bye, everyone.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Ox Venture, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
For 8 years, we've been asking the same question over and over again. How did this happen? My name's Mandy.
And I'm Melissa, and we're the hosts of Moms and Mysteries, the true crime podcast with over 55 million downloads.
We're two Florida moms who are obsessed with mysteries. Each week, we do deep dives into fascinating true crime stories.
We cover everything from infamous cases like Casey Anthony
to the bizarre and complex crimes right here in our home state, like the shocking murder of FSU professor Dan Markell.
We bring you the facts, but with warmth and wit you'd only get from two friends who have been hooked on mysteries since childhood.
Join us for new episodes of Moms and Mysteries every Tuesday and Thursday.
Listen to Moms and Mysteries on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.